Okay. So a fun topic, God and money. I feel like I'm echoing. I'm not used to having a big voice. Usually I'm a, well, I'm not, can't say I'm a quiet guy, but I'm not a loud person. Okay. So we're starting a series for the next, 7 weeks, but 6 weeks. 6 weeks of teaching, and next week, no Bible class. A chunk of us will be running up to Berry College area for some marriage retreat thing, and that'll be awesome. But this week and then 5 weeks after that, we'll be talking about money and related topics and the spirituality of that. And one of the key lessons in my life has been, and I think for many that I have sideswiped along the way, either in the role of benevolence deacon or just in general advising on budgets or whatever, is that money is a very spiritual topic. How you handle your money says a lot about who you really are. And so we want to dig deep into this and challenge us to stay spiritual as we deal with money. So God and money. I actually did have this up till last night listed as money and God. And my wife pointed out to me that I should reverse that. So I absolutely listened to my lovely wife and went with God first and then money. So we'll also be looking at some topics, saving and giving, debt, jobs, careers. What does it mean to be a disciple working? Wealth and greed, and how does that all work out? So some of these are the big topics. Today is kind of an overview of a lot of those topics. So just as an intro and a chance to really dive deep into this stuff, today we're going to take a big picture look. So, drum roll please. Yes, it works. Okay. So, the key lesson here is that God says a lot about money. Also, interestingly, all of us say a lot about money. So, at a couple of points along the way, I'm going to stop and get what you have to say about money as well. But some of the big topics we want to look at over the next few weeks. The examples of some godly men. There are some very wealthy men in the Bible. And some of them even stayed faithful. It's an interesting challenge. So we want to look at that. We want to look at what not to do. There are a lot of things that the Bible says very clearly, don't do this. What do you don't do with money, right? And then what are the things to do? What does the Bible teach us about how to handle money? There we'll dive into a number of the scriptures that I will claim that I dug out of the Bible and put together in a list, and then some guy put together a whole class series on financial peace and stole my material. No, anyway. So right up front, Thomas and Jennifer Hood. Everyone know them? Wave, guys. If you aren't signed up for Financial Peace University, find the next chance you can, and please sign up for Financial Peace University. That is the perhaps the most direct, simple way to take, is it 10 weeks? 9 weeks? 9 weeks of class and really dig deep, really understand how to manage a budget in a godly fashion. That goes a lot more into depth than we can do in our few weeks here. So if you haven't done that, do it. If you've done it, but it was a while ago, do it again. Good reminder. Circle back and see if you're doing what you aimed to do when you first set out all those goals. Okay? So specific teachings. And then finally, perspective. It's important to understand what really matters. So I want to take a look at all of those areas. And over the next, as I say, 6-7 weeks, we'll dive deep into those things. Today we're going to do a kind of flyby overview of all of this, and we'll see how I do on fitting it into the available time. I do have until 12, right? Okay. So, maybe not. Okay. But, in any case, so, I want to start off with, wealth is evil, right? So here's some scriptures, and I want us to really think on these, because these are real. They're in the Bible. They do tell you something about how money should be handled. So, Matthew 19, the rich young ruler. You know this story. Here's this guy. And he's saying, I want to follow you, Jesus. I'm ready. I want to follow you. And it sounds like, at least by his claims, he's done everything right. He's kept all these commands from his youth. That's pretty cool. So Jesus says, you know, just one more thing. Give up all your money. Come follow me. And that's tough. And at least for the moment, we know he walked away. Since I didn't get his name, I don't know for sure if he came back, if he's on the rolls, you know, cool. But it's hard. Walk away from all that money. What do I do? And Jesus' other disciples all say, you know, hey, wow, that's a hard teaching. This is tough. If each of us has to give up all our money to follow you, how's this going to work? Jesus says, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. So wealth is apparently a bad thing. It makes it harder to get to heaven? And his disciples said, greatly astonished, who then can be saved? Wait a minute, this is hard. And the good news is, Jesus answers that. With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. So there is an answer there. That's a challenge. Let me point out that if you are, in fact, an American, by the world standards, chances are pretty good you're pretty rich. Right? Those who've had the chance to be somewhere else in the world and go visit India or go visit the Haitians after the disasters there. I know Mark did a lot of that, right? You know, those who've been around the world know our standard of living. You know, I joke about American poor is my second TV is broken and I don't have the money to fix it. You know, and that's not necessarily fair because there certainly are people living in America who are challenged financially. But the truth is, we do pretty well by the world standards. So we need to be cautious. We need to take this verse into consideration. Because chances are pretty good that on a world standard, you might qualify as wealthy. That doesn't mean the one percenters that you don't know and you haven't met. That might mean you. Okay? Similarly, have I already killed the battery? Okay. Those little green lights. Am I holding my mouth wrong? Larry! We do have another slide coming eventually. There we go. Okay. So, a couple of other verses about the evils of wealth, okay? This is the one that is probably one of the most misquoted passages in the Bible. It doesn't say money is the root of all evil, but it does say that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And those distinctions are important. But the real key there is what's defined in the next verse in Luke. You can't serve two masters. If you're loving the money more than you're loving God, that would be a problem. We tend to get our security out of money. If you know you can pay your bills at the end of the month, that feels secure. If you don't know how you're going to pay your bills at the end of the month, that feels insecure. And what happens is we let that dominate our thinking rather than the love for God and the trust for God. And that's not to minimize the importance of money. Come talk to me, I will help you understand how important it is for you to manage your money. But it does say, don't make this all about the money. Okay? So, money is evil. And there we go. Which is it? God or wealth? Which way are you going to go? So this is an interesting concept. If money, potentially accumulating money, is evil, should we all just give it all away, get as poor as we can, and work on trying to get to heaven? Does that seem like a good plan? Heaven is worth it, right? So I know that there are certain brothers who have testified recently in this room that Peter advised them to sell their house. There's at least one brother who shall remain nameless who says he will not get with me and do a budget because I'm going to tell him to turn off his cable, right? So, but we need to understand that getting poor is not the point. Okay, yeah, talk to Thomas. He'll tell you to turn off your cable instead. Okay, there you go. So, anyway, but we need to understand these choices. This is difficult stuff. And truly, it's right in the middle of our lives. You know, when you're talking about money, you're talking about real stuff. This makes a difference. So, however, help me. There we go. We also have some biblical examples of men with great wealth. I'm testing your vision. If you don't have your glasses on, you got to squint. Sorry. It looked really big on my screen at home. I'm just saying, okay? So, Abraham, Isaac, David, and then I needed at least one New Testament guy, so Joseph of Arimathea. But there are certainly many examples in the Bible of men, and for that matter, some women, of great wealth. People who had some money and yet remained faithful. And so, as I said, we want to talk a little bit about those and dig in. I don't want to spend too much time on these, but Abraham, who in the room thinks Abraham was a founding member of faith community, that he really had faith, followed God, right? He left his home and went where he didn't even know where he was going. He followed God. He went ready to sacrifice his son. You know, we hear these great stories of faith. And yet, here's a man who was really quite wealthy, right? Had become very wealthy in livestock and in silver and gold. And Genesis 24, the Lord has blessed my master abundantly and he has become wealthy. Okay? Wealth did not mean he lost his faith. Abraham, through the wealth, still depended on God. Okay? That's an interesting balance to maintain. It's not simple. Isaac, Isaac. I always call him Chuckles Abramson. Isaac means laughter, and he was, of course, the son of Abram, right? So Chuckles Abramson. But he inherited his, you know why he's called Isaac, right? That's because they laughed, right? You know, okay, it's a good biblical name. So Chuckles here, he inherited some wealth. He apparently had some wealth, right? And here's a man who became rich. And what's interesting is it said became. I assume he inherited quite a bit. So does that mean he further increased his wealth? And his wealth continued to grow until he became very wealthy. So Isaac, like Dad, had a lot of wealth. And yet was a patriarch, one of those founding fathers of our faith. Okay? David, who here thinks David was a man after God's own heart? Who here read that in the Bible and knows it's true? Okay, good. Okay. So here's the man after God's own heart. We know he sinned. We know he had problems. But we also know he did more to establish the nation of Israel than any other single individual. He essentially founded Jerusalem, turned it from a little pasture land into the center of the city of the kingdom of God, right? Pretty cool. 1 Chronicles 29:28. He died at a good old age, having enjoyed long life, wealth, and honor. He had wealth. And I didn't put up his son, Solomon, who followed him, he also had great wealth, but his great wealth was perhaps the example of where wealth can, in fact, steer you a little bit wrong, right? Solomon had some problems and left a divided kingdom. But the point of each of those is you can be faithful and wealthy. The point of none of those is that wealth was a badge of faith. I don't see that anywhere, right? So getting wealthy isn't saying, God, I'm more faithful than you because I have more wealth. But wealth doesn't need to pull me away from God. But those verses we read earlier, wealth can distract you. It really can. And finally, Joseph of Arimathea, just as kind of a sidebar here, but here's the man who had become a follower of Jesus. He was a man, though, he was a rich man. There came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph who had himself as a disciple. So he was a little bit involved there in finding a tomb for Jesus as he was executed. He was a disciple. He was a faithful man. And he was rich. So it can be done. So, did I give up? There we go. Let's talk about that. So, I like to hear myself talk. Anyone who knows me knows that. So, I need to stop talking for a minute and let you talk. So, what do you guys think? This is an interesting challenge. Does wealth make it harder to follow God? Does wealth make it harder to be faithful? Does faith help you manage your wealth? How do these things play together? What do you think? What is the challenge of wealth? Any thoughts on that? Anyone encountered that? Some of you wishing I could encounter that? Wealth is a mirror that exposes your heart to God. That's interesting, yeah. Okay? Yes? So reliance on God because you have the more responsibility with wealth. Yeah, Dan. Okay. So Proverbs, that was chapter 30, verse somewhere in there. Read Proverbs. It's good. I think I have that in my slide later. Okay, yes. Wealth is a test of your heart. How do I use that wealth? That's an interesting. Yes. Yeah. So the effort to get wealth can be a distraction for sure. Yes. Okay, absolutely. So God has engineered that perhaps some people of faith have the wealth to go do the works that God needs done. Money is a useful thing for that sometimes. Way over there. Shout for us. Yep. Okay. So a lot of things can require that. Okay, that's it. Mark. So, yeah, arrogant, overfed, and unconcerned. Let's not have that on our tombstones, right? Okay. Yeah. So. Okay. So the good news is Phil's not naming names of whose taxes he did there, but but true, yeah. I do think, you know, that God loves a cheerful giver, and I think people who cheerfully give, people who truly are have the heart to give, even out of their poverty, can really have a much more fulfilling life. It's an amazing thing. Again, it's not a prosperity gospel. It kind of works the other way. It's what's your attitude towards God and giving. So, great point. So, in the interest of time, I already broke the clicker, so Larry had to take it away from me. But anyway, so what not to do? You know, there's a famous video here from Saturday Night Live years and years ago, and I don't have the video. I think it's copyrighted, and they have little rules about that. But we'll see if I can do it now. How fast can I break it this time? So, bottom line with what not to do is don't spend money you don't have. You know, I talk about there are three handles. There are three buttons that you can control. There's your income. There's your spend. And then there's your credit. Oops, there are two buttons you control because credit is just delayed spend. Credit has no meaning. It's not a different thing, right? So, all credit does is let you spend money you don't have. Now, are there appropriate uses for credit? Arguably, a very few. And I say arguably because I might have an argument with Thomas about that if I actually said yes. Okay. Buying a house. Yes, maybe. Okay. That's just about the limit. Okay. Might be a couple of other special use cases that we can talk about, right? But credit is a very dangerous thing. Don't spend money you can't afford. If you have it in your pocket, and it's in your budget, and it's in your plan, and it doesn't mean you will have to skip meals for the last week of the month, then okay. You know? But so it's not that spending money is wrong, it's spending money that you don't have. Very dangerous, and it's so American. It's what we do. It's what we do. It's what our government does. We're just imitating, right? Okay. Oh, look, it works. So, equal time. Equal time. I vote with the cat, however. I'm a cat person. Okay. So, either way, sometimes running a budget means making some tough decisions, though, okay? I'm trying to learn from Steve McKenna. He has visuals, you know. I usually just put words up there, so. Okay. What does the Bible say about money? So these are the verses that Dave stole from, that Dave and I both found, the Financial Peace University guy. So I wanted to walk through a few of these, and this is just, again, general overview right now. We will dive deeper into these in coming weeks, but meditate on these, quiet times on these. These are some good things, okay? So Luke 14, and I excerpted parts of it. You can read the whole passage, but there are pieces that, this is really about counting the cost. It's not really so much about how you handle your money, but it has a lesson about money. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Suppose one of you wants to remodel your kitchen. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost and see if you have enough? Do you want to finish what you started? I have a dear friend who spent some time starting to remodel a kitchen and then spent about 2 years waiting to finish. And we were visiting the house, and, you know, over 2 years, you see this, we're going to finish this one day, kitchen, right? The truth is, it makes sense to stop and count the money before you spend it. Now, this is really about counting the cost, following God, all in. The rich young ruler might have done well to read this. Anyway, but that said, the absolute truth of it is, don't spend money you don't have. But the real kicker to this verse, and the one I really, really camp on, how am I doing on time? I'll tell my story. How many of you ever watched a TV show about a private investigator who lived in Hawaii on somebody else's property? Okay. Yeah. Was the house his? Was the car his? Was the helicopter that his friend drove his? He was borrowing everything. Higgins, you may remember, Higgins ran the household, right? Was the house Higgins's? The house belonged to Robin Masters. We never met Robin Masters in the entire show, as far as I know. And I'm pretty sure I saw every episode. Just saying. Okay. Robin Masters was a writer who would probably show up at his Hawaii mansion twice a year, throw a party, and leave again. And meanwhile, Tom Selleck, whatever his name was in that, Magnum PI, there we go, would guard the house. That was his main job. He did all these other side things, but his real job was guard the house, right? So he was security. But he had use of the swimming pool, he had use of the house, he had use of the car, he had use of all those things. Truth is, that's my life. I have a house that God owns. I have a few cars that God's given me to use. I have some stuff from God, but none of it is mine. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples. When you were baptized, you gave it all up. You don't have that house, that apartment, that car, that whatever, that washing machine. It's all God's. You gave it up. So if you're stressing over what you have and what you don't have, why? You don't have any of it. It's all God's. And if you can get that lesson really in your heart, it just changes your whole attitude about everything to do with money. It's just God's. And if he wants me to be wealthy, so be it. If he wants me to be living in a cardboard box in Techwood, I don't really want that, God, just saying. But, okay. You know? Because it's God. And he has put you in the time and the place and whatever that he has determined. Okay? So, very important. Nope, too far. As I said, just read Proverbs and do as it says, and you will be fine. This is a whole batch of scriptures. There are probably a half dozen others that are really, really good at, right out of Proverbs. That are, here's God's teaching on money. So I will gladly share the list with anybody. I think the slides get posted to the website here in the next few days, so if you don't scribble them all down real fast, it's okay. But the point is, just read the whole book of Proverbs. Good stuff. It says cool things like, if you don't work, you don't eat. That's not actually in Proverbs, but it's in Proverbs, right? Honor God with your wealth. If he's going to give you wealth, make sure you honor him with it. Get advice. I put in that one verse about the first to present his case seems right, 18:17. The reason I have that one in there is because I have met so many, and I'm not going to pick on any one demographic here because that would be bad, but single brothers, you know who I'm talking to, who are perhaps a little less good at managing the money and making decisions sometimes. And let me tell you, single sisters find young single brothers who manage their money well much more attractive than those who don't. Don't know what it is. Just saying. Okay. But the truth is, all of us can fall prey to that. Get advice. Right? Save. Save appropriately. That's not save and build a bigger barn. We have a verse about that too, right? But it is save. At a practical level. So, all of these, the top verse there, I call it, pick your person. It used to be Paris Hilton, then I went to Justin Bieber. Take whoever you like. Should fools live in luxury, right? You read these stories about people just out of control with wealth. And the fact is, we all do our own version of that. Some of you are wishing you had that much wealth to be foolish with. I get that. But the fact is, many of us, when we turn 20, 22, first get a job, start getting a little income, feel wealthy, just get crazy, go foolish. Heaven knows what I would have done if I had started getting millions of dollars at age 20. You know? Okay, so our verses, how are we doing on time? Okay. Left that up there long enough to take pictures, I hope. Okay. The Bible on money. More. Why is there a tombstone on this? I like the tombstone, by the way. Bye. Just saying. But the reason there's a tombstone on this is everybody who's ever talked to me about this verse knows this is the one that would be carved on my tombstone if I weren't saying, please just burn the body and skip the tombstone. So I don't want one. But that said, that's what would be on my tombstone if I had were to have one. Okay? Let no debt remain outstanding except the debt of love to one another. Okay? Debt is bad. Debt controls you. I believe Thomas will have something to say about that in a future class here. Just saying. Debt just causes pain. How many of you have ever had to worry about whether you can make the car payment at the end of the month or else see it get it repossessed? Let's be honest. Come on. No. Okay? Truth is, that's not a good feeling. Right? Debt is, I have a car loan. Well, everybody has car loans. Well, not everybody. I pay cash. And by the way, one of the cars I paid cash for was $1,800. And what's scary is it's running better than most of the other cars I own, but that's another story. Okay? That's Jennifer's car, just so you know. So, but the truth is, there are ways to obtain what you need that don't involve debt for almost any puzzle you're presented. Debt is a very difficult thing to overcome. So, don't let it control you. Short on time, so there are many other great teachings from the Bible. So I wanted to ask you guys, what did I miss? What's your favorite verse, thought, lesson from the Bible that Peter didn't cover in this overview? Yes. Right, so Paul's lesson, Paul's writing of, I've learned the secret of being content in all circumstances, yes. The grace of giving, 2 Corinthians 9, yes. Dan? Proverbs 30 and it's verses 8 through 9. Now you don't have to read all of Proverbs, but I still recommend it. Okay, yes. Matthew 6, 25 through 33, yep. Yep. Stop worrying. God's got it in control. Okay, one more, sorry. Don't place your hope in money. Yeah, whether you have the money or don't have the money, sometimes it can dominate your thinking, right? So, okay, I want to hit a couple more things. So just perspective. I talked about perspective, and we're going to spend a little time in the classes on that as well. So there are a lot of verses in the Bible. The point of this is we're going to do some lessons on money. We're going to teach a little bit about budgeting. We're going to teach a little bit about how to interview for a job. We're going to teach a little bit about how to be a great employee. I have a personal belief that if you're a disciple, you should be outstanding as an employee just because you showed up as a disciple. True story. I'll tell this again when I teach that class in depth, but before I managed people, people kept giving me raises and pats on the back and stuff as a good employee, and I thought, well, I'm just doing what I'm supposed to do. I show up and do my job. And then I became a manager, and I realized just showing up and doing your job is an amazing thing. I'm desperately looking for people who do that when I hire. Okay? So yes, you should be an amazing employee if you're a disciple. So, but the point is we're going to talk about a lot of these things. The point is this is spiritual. This is life-changing spiritual stuff that we're talking about the next few weeks. So dive in. Have some quiet times on it. I'll send you I can email out to anyone who asks. I'll send you a bunch of verses on it. Obviously, Financial Peace University, if you've taken that, go back, read through the books. But spend some time. We need to make spiritual choices. Do you want your kids to go to the swamp next summer? You could be saving right now. I've got a hint. It'll cost somewhere close to $500 per kid. I don't know the exact price. I don't know if it's set for next year yet. But that's a lot of money. So start saving now. If you put away $30, $40 a month from now till next summer, you've got it. If you don't, you'll be coming and talking to Jeff and Peter, right? So you want your kids to go to the swamp? Plan for it. Would you like to help, not steal any thunder, some orphans in Africa, you know? If you'd like to have money to give away, plan what you're doing so that you have the money to give it away, okay? Perspective. You're feeling a little stress over money? That's okay. The pain you're feeling can't compare to the joy that's coming. If we get to heaven, the streets are paved with gold. You take gold with you to your grave. Why are you bringing paving stones? You know that joke, right? So, I mean, seriously, guys, it's all worth it. It's perspective. And, oh, that one did not come through. Let me read it for you. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. 1 Peter 5. So, that's the perspective. We talk about money, and some of you immediately, your pulse started racing, your blood pressure went up. Oh no, you know, money. Ah, what do I do? So what I want to do is challenge you to keep perspective about your money. It's a spiritual thing. God isn't rewarding you or punishing you with more or less wealth. Just keep it in perspective. And finally, I did an emoji translator for you, so I just figured in case you needed that. It is time to get your kids. So thank you all for the participation.